Thank you. Hare Krishna. Sure, Hari, we have to sing very deep. Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Gopidana Vallabha Girivaradhari Gopidana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yasodhanandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yasodhanandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jaya Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai. Jaya Radha Kunya Vihari Radha Kunya Vihari Radha. Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Paravraja Kacharya Ashtata Sata Sisi Matisti Vaingre Silabe Charanaravinda Srila Bhakti Vedant Swami Maharaja Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anand Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sakaho Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavarinda Ki Jai Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinata Sham Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govadam Ki Jai Vrindavan Mathura Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Yamuna Mai Ki Jai O Bhakti Devi Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai Samabita Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to C.C. Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Rama. Hare Krishna. Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. It says whenever a yajna is successful, there will be either birds circling above the place where the yajna was done, or it will be enough rain. So I don't know. Maybe it also rains like this in Ish on when there's no japa retreat, but but I couldn't help to think yesterday night when there was this. Did you see the thunderstorm and rainstorm? It was. I mean, if that was a criterion, then our yajna was very successful. Yeah. So I want to tell you a little bit why I call these lectures discovery lectures and not just Bhagavatam lectures. The reason is that in these lectures I try to always put one point which is a discovery. Discovery is something you're walking, and then something unexpected comes up. Maybe you find a treasure, so your treasure would be a discovery. Or you make a realization, maybe, and your realization is a discovery. It's something which was covered before, and therefore you couldn't see it, but now you have discovered it. You can see it. The cover is removed. So in these lectures, I'm trying to make really very simple points, which are at the same time very deep and profound and can really help us. And I thought yesterday when we discovered, when we spoke about that our identity is always, let me say, relative and dependent, therefore, on our identification. Many of you came and said this was a necessary point in my spiritual life. I really want to request you. I won't talk about this today any further. So when you have discovered this as a point which is relevant for you, then please study this point a little bit, read more about it, think more about it, so that this point becomes something which is an entry into something. I must tell you something I'm a little bit afraid to tell, but I secretly saw the movie The Lord of the Rings. Because everyone told me this is so good and so spiritual, and I was just thinking, well, Dharmagup has most probably seen it also, so if I see it, I'm not a great sinner. I'm following the parampara. So there was one particular scene, I don't know which one. They needed to go to some place, I forgot exactly what, but they needed to go through a mountain. And then, but how to go through the mountain? That was the question. It was difficult to just, you can't just go with your nose through the mountain. It must open. And then someone, I don't know, I forgot the names. There was one. Who? Gandalf? Yes, he sounds familiar. Gandalf knew how to do it. He wrote something on the mountain, isn't it? Some different language, not an ordinary language. And then the mountain opened and zimzalabim, you could just go into the mountain. Do you remember the scene? Those of you who, I mean, I know it's a little, we don't really want to say that we saw this, but Hare Krishna. So then I remembered something which I had seen when I was a little, not seen, which I had read when I was a child. When I was a child, I was reading from morning till midnight every day. There was who was it? Ali Baba, I think was his name. And he went to this mountain and he knew the word Zimzalabim. You had to say Zimzalabim and then the mountain opened, you know. You remember? Irina as teacher, you know this. Zimzalabim, isn't it? Yes, Zimzalabim. So, I really feel in spiritual life there are some things, some discoveries, which if you know them, you can really enter into a new dimension. This is what I thought when I saw this movie and how this person was saying something or writing something. I forgot exactly. And then, whoop, it opened and you could go through the mountains. So, and in Krishna consciousness, there are some things, if you understand them and if you also, you know, practice them, you will be able to really go into the next level. But see, I feel there is a problem. We hear so much, isn't it? We hear from morning. I mean, we hear so much. Then we read in the books, and then some of you have these iPods in their ears, and they hear more. And then we just hear and hear and hear and hear, and then we don't stop and say, oh my God, this was important for me. This is now what I should practice. And I would really encourage you to not be so fast in your hearing that you hear but you never listen. That's a problem. You hear something but you never listen. Or you see something, but you never recognize it as something. Or how to say this? In, you know, don't we have all this? We see, but we really don't see. We hear, but it really doesn't strike a chord in us. And we don't therefore take it so serious. I feel that's an important thing which I want to say. So therefore also, when you do this japa retreat, my dear devotees, you pay 200 euros for this. This is a new iPod. I mean, you really made an expenditure to come here, and all this travel which you made. Please don't allow that this japa retreat is just something you went to. Yeah, I also was with a japa retreat. Yeah, and what was there? Yes, we ate some pizza. You know, no, you should. We did also eat pizza. That's correct. But I hope yesterday at least I ate pizza. But there were many other things happening for you, and I really believe that what you wrote down on your piece of paper after the 64 rounds day was one of your discoveries which you made. Maybe it was a discovery where you felt, oh, my relationship to Krishna is not yet where I want the relationship to Krishna to be. Maybe that is a discovery for you. Or you discovered, if my relationship would be a little bit deeper, I could go so much deeper in my chanting. Then please stay with this point and enter there in this point with the relationship. Please, whatever you wrote down, look at it. It's written from a different consciousness than the consciousness in which you usually are. You know, after 64 rounds day, something has happened. You are maybe more shaken, or you feel more sensitive, or more awakened, or more in touch with yourself. Something will be there. So that is where you, what is a point of entry. That's your Simsalabim. I'm trying to put it in as simple words as I can. Not simple, let me say, clear words. I know you are very, I actually don't want to talk about this. I want to put it very clear so that you can really take this home. and do something with it. My dream of a perfect japa retreat person is a person who has a big backpack, rucksack, we say in German, full with discoveries. And he takes them home, cluck, he puts them on the windowsill. This is called a windowsill, am I correct? This is called windowsill. Huh? He puts them there for regular inspection. And then he takes one of these things and then he experiments on them. Please be very sure about this in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not so much what others do or not do. Krishna consciousness is all about what you do in your relationship with Krishna. And that is something which I spoke with yesterday on the dumpfer or on the ship with one of you. One devotee told me, I was so happy that you said that there is a great advantage in the association of devotees, but there is also a danger. And the danger is that, yeah, everything is served to us and therefore we stop cooking ourselves. In other words, we are supplied with everything, knowledge, information, discoveries even. But we don't make them ourselves. That's, for instance, my situation. Everyone always, there's always cooking. I have not yet learned cooking, because all the time cooking is done for me. I only know to cook fruit salad. I mean to prepare. You shouldn't cook it. Unless it is compote, that is also, but that I already don't know how to do that. When someone always gets his meals, he will not learn to put a good meal together on his own. When the time comes, he can't do this. See, for all of us, there comes a time when we need to cook on our own. That means when we have to act on our realization at the own. And that will be tomorrow's subject. It will be the time of our own physical departure from this world. So we have still something in the morning to come tomorrow morning, which will be a surprise for you. But today is an easy day. All right. So now we will go into the subject matter. So I really request you, take whatever you have discovered. Everything is good. There is no bad discovery, everything is necessary. Take this with you and then work with this. Be with this. It's your zimzalabim. It's your tool, your instrument of truth, your instrument of force. Something which has strength. So having said this, I want to give a talk about something which was for me a discovery. There is one book on chanting. It's you could say the chanting manual. Manual is like a guidebook. And this book is called Bhajan Rahasya. Who has read this book? It's a difficult book. Difficult because it's only verses. But they are strung together or brought together in, you could say, a guided meditation, which allows you to go to the most deepest levels of Krishna consciousness, which is that you think of your spiritual identity and chant in your spiritual identity. Now, it's written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and it's such an important work that the whole Gaudiya Math, that is our mother institution, if you so want, or you know, from which ISKCON is. I don't know if this is the right way to say, but the movement of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is the Gaudiya Math, and Prabhupada founded a preaching movement in the West, because he was the first who went to the West. That's the ISKCON movement. So in the Gaudiya Math, every Kartik, what the devotees do is they stop everything. Nowadays the modern devotees don't do this any longer. I mean, everyone doesn't do it. But a good portion of them sits and performs bhajan according to the guidelines given by this book, the Bhajan Rahasya. They just go somewhere. There are many Gaudiyas now in Govindakund, or around Govindakund. There's a whole settlement of devotees, and they just chant and read the verses, meditate, and then chant, read the verses, meditate, chant, and so on. It's for 1 month they do this. It's like Ignatius of Loyola, who wrote the Exerziten, you know, the guidebook for Christian meditation. So here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur there says how you can come to the level of bhava, and it seems it's very, very fast. He says you should spend the first few days chanting the holy name in accordance with the first verse of the Shikshastaka. That means with faith. And then you should develop expertise in your chanting according to the second verse. That means by avoiding offenses. Then you should quickly go to the third verse and become mature in your chanting. Then you should go to the fourth verse. How was it? Fourth verse. Oh, you should become free from all unwanted attachments. And then, listen to this, you should go to the fifth verse and accept your own spiritual body, which begins with full shelter at Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. And then, from then on, you are in your siddha deha, your spiritual identity, and you quickly, and you make gradual progress to bhava and prema. Now, if you read this in this guidebook, you think, my God, this is a fast development. Is it really so simple? You think like this. There it says you just meditate about a few verses and then you have pure love of Godhead. In the Nectar of Devotion, who of you has read Nectar of Devotion, if I may ask? Good number. There also, you might surprise, you find out, when you do this, you know, go to Mathura, Vrindavan, then you'd also develop bhava. You have read this, these things? You know, there are verses quoted like this. And you think, well, is it really so simple? Is it really so easy? Some of you may have sat in my classes during the Japa retreat, and I have said, do this and you will be totally concentrated and totally ecstatic. And you have asked, Is it really so simple? At least it has not yet happened. And you look to your neighbor. I mean, is he in ecstasy? Am I the only one who's not in ecstasy? Or what's wrong with me? You know, isn't it? Don't we sometimes have this when we hear these things? And today I would like to talk about the fact when these prophecies or these descriptions become true and when they don't become true. See, there is one key. There are two keys, actually. The first key is to chant with Sambandha. We have talked about this yesterday, with a feeling of relationship. And I request you, if you want, I mean, now it's a little difficult for me to say. I don't really think my lectures are so good. I can't speak very well in the English language. My thoughts are sometimes too entangled and not too clear to a listener. But still, I can only say I have really worked very hard on these lectures. I have notes, you know. This was a lot of work. And I've tried to put my heart into them, of what I have discovered, because I want to help you and serve you. This is a very strong desire in me. That's why I do these retreats. So yes, I think you have to hear yesterday's lecture again, because there was a lot in it, and when you hear it a little bit more often, you discover more of these points. When you just get it, if I just download to you what I have thought in 30 years, you know, my discoveries in 30 years, you will be a little off. There was something, but what exactly was it? I can't repeat, you know. So maybe you should listen again to this. If you found something in it, if it was not for you, then it's a different story, obviously. So, the next is what I want to say. These things come true or not come true if you understand or misunderstand three words. There are three magical words in Krishna consciousness. If you have them, you have the key. If you don't have them, you're without the key. It's desire, eagerness, and anxiety. Let me speak about one of the one at a time of these lectures. These magical words, desire, eagerness, and anxiety, are really only one word. They are the increasing desire for Krishna. See, if you have a desire for Krishna, if you say, if you feel, I want you, Krishna, then, my dear devotees, everything is so easy. It's so easy. But if you don't have this desire for Krishna in your heart, everything is impossible for you. Srila Prabhupada's book, let us first speak about desire. Desire is that initial movement within the mind, which moves you in a certain direction. Desire is called a vasana and a vritti, and it's something which moves you. Look at this water, it's actually tea. This water is still. Now, when an impulse comes here, boom, it starts to move. So your mind is when it is sattvic, and that is the normal state of the mind according to the Bhagavatam, it is still. But then comes an impetus, and waves appear on the mind, and you feel, I must have this. The mind is no longer still. There is a desire. And this desire will move your whole life in a certain direction. Desires are very strong. Desires are the basis of our existence. So, in your spiritual life, you also, first of all, start with the desire. I want to become Krishna consciousness. And here comes the problem. You must maintain the desire and make it stronger. This is all you have, really. Why are you here? Because you desire to be here. Why did someone of you go to the university? Because you desire to learn more. Why are some of you married? Because you wanted to have partnership. Why are some of you single? Because you think this is better for me at this stage of my life, for my concentration or whatever reasons you have. Desire is the basis of your existence. Desire brought you into Krishna consciousness. You have to, this is very important, you have to maintain it. Plus, this plus is all, it's all about this plus. Make it stronger. It's just like if you want to have the pleasure of tea, you must heat the water and you must bring it finally to the boiling point. Don't stop before the boiling point. So in Krishna consciousness, you also cannot stop before you reach a certain intensity in your desire. It's not sufficient when you make tea, let's go back to the example, to just have be satisfied with warm water. That's all right when you start. But you have to bring more heat to it and until you have something in the practice. Same with yoga. Or we were in Berlin. I was so surprised when I heard this. There is a master of Qigong from China. Real. It's a very unexpected master. This master smiles from morning till evening and has a twin. Twin? Is it twin? No. Is it that? No. It's a female master. The female master is so small. From China, all the time, smile, and he's very humble, and that master made once. We are making with this Qigong Institute a big congress in Berlin. We started this year, and next year it will be bigger. It's called Future Earth. Woo, you should have been in this congress. So many speakers where there are so many interesting things. And we have built with this Qigong Institute a Kirtan Gong association. It's not Qigong, it's Kirtan Gong. we have once a month Kirtan, and after the Kirtan, the master comes, the Chinese master, and gives a key energizing things, you know. She puts you into meditation and then says some words from the Qiang, and then the Qiang works in you, and then the Qi works in you, and you theoretically don't need to eat for 1 month, but so much energy is with you. With me, it didn't really work, but it was good anyways. So here they tell you when the master explains to you the exercises, which also in another session they gave us exercises for, specially made for the Hare Krishna movement. They say you have to do them regularly and don't stop before you reach a certain intensity of the exercises, because, and they said, it's just like water. You cannot stop to supply heat to the water before it reaches the boiling point. Otherwise, the exercises are useless. They, I mean, not useless, they have some use, but but not the real use. So desire is that initial movement which brings you to Krishna consciousness. Now boil your desire. It's so important. Many devotees don't continue in Krishna consciousness because they simply don't know this point. You can only get the nectar of Krishna consciousness when you boil, when you come to the boiling point. And the next point really is Prabhupada's entry into what he thought the movement of Krishna consciousness should be. It's the next hottest degree of desire. What do you do when you heat your desire? What is the next stage you come to? I tell you, it's not so, I mean, it's eagerness. Now we really need to know what is eagerness. It's not my, let me just think for a moment. Eagerness. Malini Priya, you are a teacher. Are you a teacher of English language also? You are. What is eagerness? Please give a definition. You want to attain something and you do something half-heartedness. No. You do something enthusiastic to achieve it. Eagerness, yeah. I have an Oxford dictionary. It says, for this you really need a dictionary. I would say it's a more condensed form of desire, because when you have a desire, you also do something to attain something. So eagerness is more, I must have it. I really must have it. It's not just I desire to have it. I must have it. Prabhupada said that eagerness is the only price for Krishna consciousness. Without this eagerness, you can't have it. And he said, if you want to become Krishna conscious, you have to become eager. You have to develop Laulyam. And then he said, I have coined this phrase, Krishna consciousness, after this verse. And then he cites a verse. And this verse is the point of entry. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi koto pilapyate tatra laulyam. Here it is, laulyam. Api mulyam. Mulyam means root. Ekalam janma koti sukrite nalabhyate. I can't say it in Sanskrit properly, but here's the English for us. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lives. It can be attained only by paying one price, that is, intense greed to obtain it. If it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So there are a few secrets in this verse. First, there is a secret. You can't get Krishna consciousness with just some little warm desire. I talked to one devotee, I will not say who it is, but this talk was very, very relevant. I asked the devotee, who is of Indian origin, what did you do before you came to Krishna consciousness? I mean, in relationship to spiritual life. And she said to me, well, I had a pious life. I also visit mandirs, and I was a vegetarian and all of that. And then I said, and what happened with your pious life when you became a devotee? And then this Mataji said, a very philosophical Mataji, she said, Maharaj, when I became a devotee, the things which I already knew from my parents and my cultural upbringing became just incredibly more intense. You know, what that meant, Previously, she visited the temple like Indians do. You just do it. You don't ask. It is in the culture to visit the mandir. But this time now she visited the temple and she stood long hours before the deity and prayed. Before that she had just bowed down like this, pranam. But now she is kneeling on her knees and puts her head on the floor. It's the same thing, but with eagerness. Huh? It's the same water, if you so wish, but it's now already starting to boil a little, to move a little. You know, this is an example. Here it says, this bhakti, Krishna bhakti, or pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness, cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lives. Here it says, this Mataji could have visited the mandirs in her ordinary Hindu way, you know, pious life with a desire to be pious and to be good for hundreds and thousands of lifetimes. No change. Yeah, I mean, she would not have had Krishna consciousness. She would have been maybe a pious girl, you know, with a pious Patel, that's a Gujarati name, you know, married a pious Gujarati sweet merchant, and you know, and that would be all in her life. No. It can be attained only by paying one price, that is intense greed to obtain it. Do you know what people do who are greedy? They even steal. If I'm greedy to have a certain preparation, I will even steal it. I have often stolen prasadam. You know, because I'm greedy, and I heard once Prabhupada apparently said it's all right. So I, you know, in Schloss Rettershof, that was our first temple in Germany. There was an Abus Schloss before the Maha Schrank. How do we a locker? And you know, devotees, in order to get to the Maha, would you know, one day we found out one devotee came in the night and he had a machine gun and he killed the Abus locker, you know, that's a heavy locker, you know, he broke open just to have the Maha Prasadam. You know, that is bona fide greed. You do everything to get it. It was maybe not a machine gun. It was an iron saw. You know, this not a machine gun, because I mean that's a little bit too wild, maybe. but he did everything to get it. When you're greedy to get for something, this is what you must have if you want to become Krishna conscious. It's no longer a desire, just a desire. Yeah, that would be nice, huh? To be Krishna conscious. You really must be eager. I remember once there was anyways, I bring this to the end. Then Prabhupada was asked a question on a morning walk in Hawaii. Oh, Nityananda Kari printed this out for me, but I have forgotten to take it with me. Do you have still access to this, Nityananda Kari? On your computer, not now. You don't need to get it now, but we can get the quotations from Nityananda Kari. And there Prabhupada is on a morning walk and someone asks him, what do we need to become Krishna conscious? How can we become Krishna conscious? And he makes the same point which we are discussing, desire, eagerness, and then he goes to anxiety. Anxiety is really it's something which is an increased form of desire. I want to give you an example. In the airport, I am always anxious that the luggage arrives. Because sometimes it has not arrived. I remember once I went to Calcutta. I was alone and I was not in good health. And there was a medicine which I absolutely needed to function in India. And the luggage was missed. When will my luggage come? I asked the people. Who knows? Who knows? You know, Indian answer. And then, can I give you my details? The man on the, Swamiji, don't be so anxious. You know, he was really not in the mood to work, you know. It was too hot for him and he wanted to drink some lassi. And I said, please, I just need this piece of luggage. And finally he took the notes and I remember. He said, maybe it comes again. Sometimes they place it behind, and I remember I went to this belt and I already knew most probably it's lost. I always lose luggage. I am always thinking like this. So I went back again to the belt and I looked at the belt, you know, and then there was one box coming, one cardboard box. Then I thought, okay, they have put again. I had been 1 hour in the airport. And okay, I thought, they have put again, they have found something and they put it on the same belt. So I have a hope that my green bag will also come. And I looked down the conveyor belt, you know, where the luggage comes, and I was just so anxious. Hopefully it comes. It would save my life. They will ask me to make kirtans in Mayapur, and I like to do kirtans with 1,000 devotees. That's a different feeling. And I need this medicine, otherwise my voice goes out after half an hour. So I was really anxious there, looking down the conveyor belt. And then something made click. I said, wow, this is how I have to look for Krishna. Now I'm looking for my green bag. This is what it means to be in Krishna consciousness. It just somehow, maybe it was the closeness to Mayapur. I just felt this, and I felt like such a fool to stand before the conveyor belt and be so anxious for a green bag. Somehow I'm going to Krishna, to Mayapur. Somehow the voice will stick with me. It's all right. I was thinking, I'm going now to Mayapur. I will be anxious for Radha Madhava's darshan. I will be anxious for Panchatattva. I will be anxious for Gaunitai. I don't care about my foolish green bag. And I remember, I was so enlightened and with this realization. I went by I said to the lazy man with his lassi, Haribol, Haribol, I don't need my green bag. I only need Krishna. You know, if you find it, send it. If you don't find it, no problem. Drink your lassi. You know, and it came after 5 days, the green bag. But I didn't even need it. I had clothes. I begged for some clothes, and they all have given me clothes. Everyone gave. I had everything I found, what I needed. And there was a perfect Indian medicine which someone gave me, that the voice remained with me. Ping. But I really, when I was standing before the conveyor belt, I was really thinking, my green bag. When I was in this anxiety, I thought, this is Krishna consciousness. I mean, if I bring this towards Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada always said, I think you all have desire. You all have eagerness. You have anxiety. Bring that to Krishna. This is our philosophy. We all have it. Somehow bring it for Krishna. When you feel your desire is for the wrong things, your eagerness is for the wrong thing, your anxiety is for the wrong thing, just say, okay, I have to put it to Krishna. Yes. Now, in this verse it says, if this eagerness means, if Krishna consciousness is available, no, wrong. If it says, if eagerness is available, you must immediately get it. Now I'm asking you a question. From where can you get the eagerness or the desire? I must admit to you that, you know, this lecture up till now is a little bit discouraging for me, because I'm saying these are the qualities, and you know, and already I see some of you, yep, I don't have these qualities. And just by telling you, just by you telling me about them, I become more miserable every minute. I'm not so eager. I'm full of anxiety about my luggage, you know, my attachments to this world. That's the luggage we all keep. How will I get this? It's very mysterious. You need to really understand from where you get it. There are three things which don't belong to this world, and one of these things is what we are talking about. Bhakti, Bhagavan, and the Bhakta are not from this world. Love for Krishna, Krishna himself, and the devotee who has love in his heart are not from this world. You won't find them in this world. Bhakti, This loving eagerness, this loving desire for Krishna, is not a vritti, that is a natural thought function in the tatastha jiva shakti, that is the jiva. See, there are three shaktis. This is a little philosophical. You need to concentrate to get the point. And there's the inner shakti, the antaranga shakti, which manifests the spiritual world in which you find Krishna, his associates, and it manifests the world of love. Then there's bahiranga shakti. The bahiranga or external shakti manifests the world of prakriti, the world of matter. And then in between the external and internal energy, you find the jiva shakti, who's on the borderline and must make the decision. Will I be a part of the bahiranga shakti, the external world, or will I be part of the antaranga shakti, the internal world? But at the point when the jiva makes the decision, it's not yet part of the spiritual world. It's on the borderline. It has to leave the borderline and find the bhakti and to go finally to Krishna. So this bhakti is something from this from the spiritual world, which brings you to the spiritual world. Let us, you know, to make it very simple. Let's say here's the spiritual world. It's not correct. The spiritual world is everywhere. But just for thinking, to put categories, here's the category spiritual world and material world. Let's locate those categories and say it's here. So bhakti has to be given by someone who is here, and the bhakti comes down like a current, and it comes in your heart, and it lifts you into the spiritual world. It goes back there. Is it clear to you? Bhakti is not a vritti, a thought function, a psychological thing in this world. Therefore, when you hear about Radha and Krishna and their love for each other, and their intimate pastimes, it's never like what you find here in the world. It's something different. It's of a different category. Although this, what you find here, resembles in some ways the origin which is there in the spiritual world. So you need bhakti is the internal energy of Bhagavan Sri Krishna, and it's the Swarup Shakti. Swam is his own Shakti. It's his own love. It's divine love which we are after. No? So this comes into this world through the hearts of the bhaktas who are mercifully in this world preaching bhakti. You understand? If you want water, you have to go to the faucet. The English word is water tap. Tap you. If you want bhakti, you have to go to the bhakta, who is of this, of that world, whose Prabhupada once said, 1 feet of his is in that world. And through his heart, this bhakti flows into this world. This is Krishna's arrangement. Krishna works through his hands, and his hands are his bhaktas. Hare Krishna. There's a verse for you from the Madhya Lila in Mahat Kripa Vina Kone Karma Bhakti Naya Krishna Bhakti Dure Rahu Sangsara Nakshaya. Unless one is favored by a pure devotee, he cannot attain the platform of devotional service, no? Krishna Bhakti. To say nothing of Krishna Bhakti. Let's not talk about Krishna Bhakti at the moment. Unless one is favored by a pure devotee, one cannot even be relieved from the bondage of material existence. You must get blessings. No, this is Sridhar Babu's point. You can speak with Sridhar. That's what lives in Sridhar. He feels very strongly one needs blessings. Isn't it, Sridhar? This is what you feel. You can talk with him why he feels like this. Sridhar is very intelligent, from a good family, has taken Krishna consciousness very serious. You should ask him why he feels like this. So, then it says another verse, just to convince you. Sadhu Shastra Kripayari Krishnan Mukahaya Sejivanishtare Maya Tahare Chadaya. Also from Madhya Lila. If the conditioned soul becomes Krishna conscious by the milast means mercy of saintly persons who voluntarily preach the injunctions of the scriptures and help him to become Krishna conscious, the conditioned soul is liberated from the clutches of Maya, who then gives him up. See, if Maya finds out you are attached to get the mercy of saintly persons, then Maya says, okay, all right, I give up this person. Maya stops disturbing you. She says, he or she is as good as gone, so why waste my time with him? He or she hath the beloved. The mercy is favored by saintly persons. I can't do anything here any longer. My dear devotees, but before you come to this attachment to getting the mercy, or intense desire to get Krishna bhakti from the bhaktas, Maya will do everything to break your faith. She will just enter your thoughts and give crazy thoughts in your mind and so on, so that this cannot come about, that you cannot become free. There's one shloka which I found, I don't know it by now, at the moment by heart, but it says the devatas, that means the powerful devatas, come personally to test your faith in your spiritual master. They just put obstacles in your path, because this is how Maya works. So powerful agents, just to test you that no nonsense comes in the spiritual world. It's a duty to see. But if you have faith in a saintly person and you act to please the saintly person, and the saintly person, the result is his mercy flows in your direction, then you can easily overcome the influence of material life. So let me summarize, because we had really 2 points. To come to Krishna consciousness, what to do? You have to boil your desire. You have to boil the water. And progress from desire to eagerness to anxiety. Where you ultimately say, 1 second, no, 1 year has passed. Half a year has passed. No, you start from this. Yeah. 1 hour has passed. 1 minute has passed. Still I have not have, I didn't have the darshan of my Krishna. This is anxiety, you know. This is how to become Krishna conscious. And you can get that from those who have this in their heart, who want Krishna consciousness. When you ask them, what do you want? They will not say pizza. They will say Krishna. This is where you get it from. And my dear devotees, I have seen this in my spiritual master. You know, there were really two incidences lately which really moved me very, very much. I will end my class here. The first was when I was in, you know, I had seen Prabhupada about 6 times in my life, but as I told you yesterday, I was still very immature. I was still, trying to become a little warmer, you know, at least. The water was still cold in the heart. And so, anyways, but lately, since I'm now becoming older, I again visit these meetings with Prabhupada, and I discover things which I had not seen earlier. So, one time, I remember, I was on my way walking from Gangotri to Gomukh. May I know who of you has been in this beautiful area of the Himalayas? Lalita Maravai was there. Manu Nandini was there, I know. Who was, only the two? You. Sasha, that would be a journey for you and Marianne. First go to Gomukh. No, to Gangotri, then Gomukh, Himalayas, where the yogis are, and then go Vrindavan. Perfect journey. We don't need more. So it was a stormy day. It can be quite stormy. I remember Banu Nandini, I think you told me when you took your bath it was snowing. Not very comfortable. It can be, from one day to the next, it can be very intense, you know. So we were walking there, and it was raining, I remember. It was really raining. And I really felt, you know. And then I had this new Gore-Tex anti-rain thing, and of course these things never work. You, yes, there is not a drop of rainwater going through, but when you walk, you sweat like an idiot and are all wet inside, you know. This is the modern things. They never work, you know. Yes, I know. No drop of water, but that's not what we need. We need, when the water's all inside, you know, then it's worse than if it comes from outside. I threw this nonsense jacket away, you know. So okay, so then we continued to walk, and I thought, oh my God, this will be it's raining, and I'm already wet like anything, and I want to go to Gomukh, and then I want to go to Tapavan, and then I want to go as close to Shivalinga as possible, and then I want to go to Ankash, Ganga, and everything is so uncomfortable, and I will break down in the middle of the path. So then I remember I walked, and I was a little mental. You get also quite easily mental when it goes so high. When you are 4,000 meters and above, then you get mental very quickly. So we went. Then came the storms. Okay, the storms. Then I had to hide behind a rock because it was just so stormy. And I was there sitting behind the rock. Okay, my mind was saying, you could chant, Sachinandan Swami. Why don't you chant now? Why do you just sit like this? I said, I have no strength to chant. I just was a little mental. Then something happened. I looked behind my rock, and I looked in a valley, and there, under a birch tree, this is these trees who are a little whitish, I saw him. There was a sadhu. This sadhu was bearded. He had just a blanket. And he had a japa mala, and he was chanting. And I couldn't hear him because there was the Ganga in between us. You know, I'm here, high up, behind a rock, and I'm looking, then it goes down, there's the Ganga, and then there's a valley, and there I see the sadhu under a tree. And the Ganga makes a wonderful sound, and I couldn't hear. So I looked very clearly, I can see very sharp in the distance, I looked very much there, and I could see from the beads and from the other neck beads he had, he's a Ram Bhakta. He will be chanting Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram. And I became interested. I looked with all my antennas up. What do I see here? He couldn't see me, but I could see him very well. Then I saw, my God, he's crying. Wow, why is he crying? Then I looked more. This Ram Bhakta is crying. I immediately became very humble. Oh my God, he's a very advanced soul. He must be just paying the entrance into the spiritual world. Coins of eagerness. You know, he's eager to meet his beloved deities, Sitaram. And you know, it touched me. It went right through. He was very far away, and it went right through into my heart, and I felt, my God, I should really chant now, you know, Krishna, Krishna, Bodhidobha, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I started to chant. I did remember this. I started to chant like I've never chanted before. And then I looked and he was crying some more. He was really like, Sitaram, Sitaram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. because I'm a Krishna devotee, or Radha Krishna devotee. So I was, we were just the two crying birds, you know, in the Himalayas. And I really felt, my God, this is the best I have ever experienced in my Krishna consciousness. And then I thought, he has left everything. You know, some of these sadhus, you when you ask them, you hear interesting stories. Like one yogi was a politician. I met this one, Bhattacharya. He was a politician. The other was a I'm wrong. He was not a politician. He was a professor in the Calcutta University. This yogi speaks English. You have no idea how good he speaks English. And the other, these are people who have given up everything for Sitaram or Radha Krishna or, you know, and I could see these are sadhus. This is the real thing. And then I remembered when I was in the cave, my own spiritual master, and how I had seen him. So without any compromise, only Krishna, 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 and I had seen him chanting and kirtan and bhajan, and he was really on another planet, you know, in another dimension. I've seen this, and I remembered Prabhupada, and I read his books from this perspective. You know, he always talks Krishna, Krishna, everything for Krishna, 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 Krishna. This is what Prabhupada will tell you when you read the books, you know. And no karma, no jnana, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna bhakti, you know, kirtan, everything, Hare Krishna, you know. And yeah, these are the sadhus. This is the real... the real thing. And when you connect with them in your heart and just try to serve them in a humble way, then it will come into your heart also. Otherwise, how will it come? You can turn all the stones in the atria around. You won't find Krishna bhakti under them. In this prakriti, material nature, it's not to be found. It comes from the spiritual dimension. And then our hearts can develop this eagerness and Krishna, Krishna. Then we also go Krishna, 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 Krishna. And then then Maya says, all right, let us keep him in peace. Hare Krishna. So I've finished, I've said what I wanted to say. Hare Krishna. So happy that I brought it out, you know. Hare Krishna. It's really true. I'm really telling the truth. You can only get it from that source. Otherwise, it's not available. It's not available. It's not a psychological function. You can squeeze sand as much as you want. You won't get perfume out of the sand. You can manipulate the sand as you want. You can bring it into a laboratory, make it levitate. Or you can't get perfume. So you can't get bhakti out of prakriti. Not to be found. God. So any questions you have regarding these things? Govinda Nandan has a question. Sridha, Vela, Nityananda Kari, and Madhyam Leela. Yes? Yes.
While you were doing this, I saw your hand moving and I saw the tilak. And then suddenly, it appears to me, it is not the way like this, as we put the tilak on.
It goes like this.
What becomes touches the heart, goes back
in our heart to the spiritual
world. Wonderful.
This is a good interpretation by a European scholar. Yes, but it's have you noted what Govinda, the tila goes like this, comes from up, touches the heart, this is the heart, very good, Govinda, and then goes up again. Well, the Sanskrit word for tilak is urdhvapundra, the road which goes upstairs, which goes up. Urdhvapundra. I think it's a nice analogy which you give. I have never found it anywhere, but I found it in your explanation. I mean, I think it's a wonderful explanation. But it's an analogy. You know, you can say like that, but it's a nice speculation, you know, like that, if it helps us. But the way it works really is the flow of love comes into the heart of the pure devotees. They come into this world, they preach, and they tell us how to practice bhakti. And when we do this, when we catch the flow, we go up like a paternoster in old office buildings. In Europe, you had this, in Vienna especially, you have them. You jump in, tick, and then it goes down into the cellar, and then it goes up. It looks like a, wie sagt man, Fahrradkette, bicycle chain. Huh? They go up, there are little cabins. You know Paternoster? Yeah. You have them in Belkane? No? You jump in at one stage, and there are those who go down. Then you can jump up out the other stage, at the other level of the house. They go down into the cellar. And then they go up. When I was a little child, I spent my life in these things, you know, just going up and down the whole day. And my father worked in a big office in his function which he had at that time, and I would visit the office, not my father, to just jump into these things, you know. And the clerks were running up and down from one level of the office building to the next, and I was just whole day. And finally they told my father, your son is here riding the Paternoster since 5 hours already. He said, let him do this, he's a child, you know. Yeah. Good, and the next one was that Sridhar.
Yesterday you explained that when we chant, Krishna will take us to his posho and hammer us and purify us.
Yeah.
Is the only way that he purifies us?
No, there are many things Krishna does. One thing are, for instance, Vaishnava festivals, where there's a lot of chanting going on, a lot of kirtan. Yesterday I talked with a few devotees. We really want to design a perfect kirtan retreat, you know, which has more of a festival nature. Kirtan, you know, japa is so meditative, Hare Krishna, but kirtan is more. And there are many things to learn how to be a blissful kirtaniya. He works directly on you and indirectly. Purifications are indirect, and the processes of devotional service are direct purification. Indirect things are tests and so on, these things. They in themselves have not so much to do with Krishna consciousness, but only work in the context of trying to become Krishna conscious. Therefore, they are indirect. You know, what has going to a dentist and the pain which you have to do with Krishna consciousness? It's a material, it's a minor surgical intrusion, this drilling. That's not spiritual. But when a devotee goes there to the dentist and something happens which was unexpected, then he relates it to his own spiritual advancement, like he relates everything to Krishna, and he sees that this helped him to become Krishna conscious. No? So this is indirect purification, and direct purification is the process of Krishna consciousness. Yeah? The chanting, all the things we do. Okay? Now, we called upon a few devotees. Were you in the... who was the... Vele. I'm so good. Velko. Vele is when we address you, or...
It's a nickname.
So it's not the real name. I thought it's a grammatical constellation for Velko. No, then I stick with Velko. Yeah, we got that. I know Velko, yes.
I have a question. I talked to some devotees with the 64 rounds day.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were kind enough to share their experiences. And some had really dramatic feelings in their hearts, while others had a more subtle realizations. And I was wondering for which should we strive more? For the more dramatical feelings of some devotees had really, they would even say, mystical experiences.
Mm-hmm.
While others talked more humble and, they were really more, their experiences were more down to earth. Perhaps deeper meaning, because they were more connected with what's going on in their spiritual life. So I was wondering for which should be started.
Yeah, very nice question, and I want to answer. Don't strive for anything. Whatever comes. That's very important, because the moment you strive for something, you will get that. But it's only your mental creation. You know, when you, I want this to happen, and then it's something you call in psychology, it's a make-believe attitude, and then you convince yourself that it happened. But it, your mystical experience may just be a little bit more acid. Acid is, how do you say, I mean it in the form of, you know, the word means something in the drug culture. What I mean is physical acid. We all have acid and Basen. Basen and Säuren. Wie sagt man das in... Do you know, Sangeeta, you must know, because you're a little health-minded. Our blood is either to basis, or no, to what? Alkaline, and what is the other? Acidic. The so-called mystical experience may have to do with the acidic quality of the blood, which happens because of fasting. You know, it is not necessarily spiritual, but because we so much want some mystical experience, bang, we make something out of it. When you chant, the best really is to chant as a servant. Your chanting is not for you. The chanting is for Krishna. Otherwise, you could chant your name. Velko, 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 velko. Or something, the new mantra, vela velko, vela velko, vela velko. Your chanting is for Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure. It says so in the things which I want to send you. Per email, with the email, these prayers which you do before you take. I'm doing this yagya of chanting japa now for your pleasure, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. then you open yourself up for real spiritual realizations. But if you want things to happen, I'm really very sure about it, because I belong in the categories I like mystical experience, and I really have to put myself down that no, this chanting is not about you and what you like. It's about giving pleasure to Radha and Krishna. I'm sorry, I have to go by the devotees who were first, but I have noticed your Priyanka and Madhavananda is there. Who were the next one? Nityananda Kari. Don't know if you do. I understand you correctly that you say we listen selectively and construct something out of what we hear, what is already in our mind. No, that's not your. No. And then we don't hear the point, we just listen and we don't do.
Yes, or I can be, I don't know, I can listen to lectures of Jayapataka Maharaj and then I'm like really into bhakti, riksha, but I'm not really getting the point, not really hearing what he's saying. So we are advised to listen a lot as well. That's very necessary. The shravanam is also our process, but on the other side we can get a little bit just into our creating our little world.
Yeah.
And so where is this balance? How to make the balance of listening and really hearing things?
I know how you can come from the listening state to the hearing state, and there are three steps which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. The first is you just hear shravana, and that is you give an, the English word is so nice, an oral reception. You know, like a guest whom you receive the information. When the guest comes, you don't try to tell your coat, I don't like your coat, can't you, why have you not come in another coat? No, you accept him as he comes. So, in the same way you give a oral reception to, that's the first thing, it's called shravanam. Now comes the second thing, and I think this is what you need. It's called manaha in Sanskrit. It's reflecting about what you have heard. Reflect, reflect, reflect. And then comes the third stage. It's called nididhyasan. Nididhyasan. It means to not only reflect, but really to meditate about it. Or, in Vaishnava circles, we apply the knowledge which we have heard. It's interesting. We Vaishnava think you meditate about something when you do it. It's no longer in the mind, in other words, but it takes possession of our whole life, you know. Not that we don't have meditations, but you know, you really bring the subject deep when you apply it. Now, in addition to these three things, shravan, mana, and nididhyasan, a fourth thing helps you to go deep, and that is to pray to be empowered. Then you have it. now Nityananda Kari, I know that I have not yet been successful to penetrate all corners of a mind which thinks in Bosnian ways. I know this. I have not yet been... I see it all the time when I come to Bosnia. The people are a mystery for me, and I like mysteries. You know, it's not a problem. Do you feel that my answer is based on a true understanding of your question? Most probably not. You don't want. I mean, I have now cornered. This is a very bad way to say. I'm sorry. I don't want it. I suggest like this, Nityananda Kari, when you, I can see from your face, I'm perceptive enough that I have not really given you an answer. Please think again about your question and ask it again. We can work this out, you know, we have to, anyways, I have to be able to understand, I have to be able to understand you, otherwise I'm not doing my job properly, you know. So please help me, it's not so easy for me. I've made so many mistakes with the Bosnian devotees because I thought this is what they mean. I really thought that's what they mean, but they didn't mean it. They meant something else. There's such wonderful devotees, but some of us think different. For instance, if you meet an Arabian, an Arab will think totally different than you. It's just a different, it's the same word, but the different meaning. So this makes life so interesting, the clashes of civilizations. No, it's not clashes, the differences, I wanted to say. Who else had the... Madhyan Leela, the sister of Yamuna.
I just want to check if I get the... if I understand properly. When you mentioned two keys, the one key was chanting with Sambandha.
Yes.
And second key was...
eagerness.
Desire,
eagerness, anxiety. Okay. Yes, you understood properly.
Thank you.
I didn't make it strong enough. There are, by the way, other keys also, but two keys which I wanted to speak about. Tomorrow comes another one. I have reserved that for the last day, for the morning session of the last day. Tomorrow evening we will have, we will celebrate. I don't know how we will celebrate. I only know one ingredient because devotees put the celebration together, but they assure me it's really wonderful what they do. I have no doubt. Good. There were two other questions. Do you think, Priyanka and Madhavananda, you could park these questions, keep these questions, because I feel it's now 9:20, a little past, and otherwise the whole day gets stretched out. So I'm very grateful that you listen so nicely. It's really a pleasure to be with you. And I just request you, because now we have to think, we will today put on a piece of paper, I suggest one of these, where you can write your email so that I can send you these follow-up things like the prayers and short things. Don't worry. I know when someone says to me, "Oh, I'm sending you something," I say, "Oh, I've already an overflood in my email. I can't deal with more." So it was is a brief and helpful, just very helpful. So then, I don't know. Are there announcements to be done for the day?